everyone, welcome to my channel. My name is Hannah OJ, and this is a review of season 1, episode 3 of The Other Black Girls. Let's go. So they take us back to Newark, 1976. Diana and Kendra are teenagers. Diana is braiding Kendra's hair and they're sitting on some steps, probably in their neighborhood somewhere. So they're talking about Kendra going to Harvard and how much Diana is gonna miss her bestie when she goes to Boston. So it's clear this is the episode where they're mapping out Diana and Kendra's history as friends and how they got to today. And they're going all the way back into the 70s. So they're starting to spill the tea just slowly now. In the present day, Nella walks outside her front door and she sees this manuscript, and there's a post-it note on it that says, "Saw you forgot this, H." So she knows that Hazel has come to her house to drop it off for her. Nella seems really weirded out because Hazel lives in Harlem, which is like over an hour away on the train. So she's coming pretty far out of her way to do such a nice favor. So her boyfriend, of course, is like, "You're overthinking it. She was probably just being nice. People go places. She might have just been around." But I would have been weirded out too. I don't think it would necessarily be dropping off the manuscript, because if you're somebody that I feel like is a genuine friend, I probably wouldn't feel like that about Hazel at this point because of what happened the first day I met her. But let's say it was a normal person and we're getting along great. I wouldn't really think it's weird that you stopped to give the manuscript, because I would also think you might have been knowing that you were going somewhere in Harlem and left the office after me and saw that I left the manuscript and just decided to bring it with you. Some people are just really nice like that. But I would have been a bit like, why didn't you come in? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be wondering, did you stop off at my house really late to deliver this? That's a little bit weird, because I would think that you would just knock on my door and give it to me like a normal person, and we talk, have a drink, and then you go about your way. So I think that would be the part that was a bit weird. That I'd be like, when did you stop by? How late? When Nella sees Hazel at work, she said that she was at a bar in the area and she thought she'd stop by and bring over the manuscript. So kind of like I thought, I was like, yeah, if she already knew she was going to the bar, yeah, it's plausible that she could have seen the manuscripts and said, let me just go give this to Nella on my way there. But that would have been a decent hour where you could have knocked on my door. But I digress. Hazel invites Nella to this Condé Nast fundraiser uptown, but she hasn't actually been invited, so she's really just inviting Nella to gatecrash. Hazel gives Nella a little mini makeover before they go, and I can't lie, Hazel might be an op, but this look was really working for Nella. The blazer was definitely giving established book editor. It really suited her. Then while they're in the bathroom, a trickle of blood just randomly starts pouring down from Hazel's head, hence the poster for the TV show. Hazel pretends that it's nothing. She insists it's fine and just gets rid of Nella while she cleans up, I guess. And then Nella just never brought it up again, which I thought was crazy. How does your new friend just randomly start having blood trickle down from her head and you never at any point ask her, hey, are you okay? Like, are you all right? Because I've never seen that before in my life, and that's quite concerning. Like, how can there just be no follow-up conversation about it? Anyway, they bring us back to 1977 now, and Diana is visiting Kendra at Harvard. Kendra is telling Diana that sometimes she feels like everybody's staring at her. Diana is trying to make her feel better, saying it's just white people being white people, which is not untrue. That's most likely what it is. In this day, Kendra's probably one of the only black people at Harvard. She also suggests that she transfers to a different college. And Kendra is like, nah, I wouldn't do that. Like, I'm lucky to be here in the first place. Like, you just don't get it. And Diana gets a little irritated at that point. She's just like, I'm just trying to help you, sis, but whatever. In hindsight, it might have looked like this was a pointless scene, but I think that they're trying to plant a seed that it was giving. Diana's kind of always been a little bit jealous of Kendra. And that's maybe a reason how all of this came about in the first place. Obviously, as everything goes along, we'll get into the story deeper and we'll go back to that theory, but I think that that's what they were trying to tell us with all these flashbacks. In the present day, Nella and Hazel are now at this fundraiser. Hazel sees this black guy that's wearing a hat that's like a combination of a cowboy hat and a top hat, very reminiscent of Indiana Jones. She's pretending that she knows him and she's like, oh my god, when did you get back from London? Oh wait, you're not Pharrell, never mind. Sauntering into the party like it's nothing. And Nella's like, how did you know that he was in London? And Hazel's like, girl, it was the hat. If he wasn't in London, he was definitely trying to pretend like he was. And I just had to highlight that for no other reason other than, is that what you lot think that we wear here? I just want to know which of those writers wrote that and why. Why would anybody think that because that man was wearing that ridiculous hat, he must have been in London? Nobody wears those hats here. I'm just, when I was rewatching it, I was just like, huh? Why the fuck would you think that? Like, I did not get it. Just when I think that things such as social media has made the world quite a bit smaller and has contributed to more authenticity where it comes to representing England and the UK on screen in American TV shows and films, I see shit like this. Like, it's just like, girl, what? Okay. And by the way, before you lot start getting any ideas, not every man in the UK wears those hats, those grandpa hats like in Peaky Blinders either. Just on the off chance that somebody that writes the show looks at my review and tries to replace it with some other accessory for the head. No. Nella starts talking to this black woman at the party, and it turns out she produces her favorite podcast, which is hosted by this black guy who seems to be some kind of social activist, a very fine social activist. His name is Jesse Watson, and Nella like loves him. She tells the podcast producer that she works for Wagner Books, and she's actually DM'd Jesse because she just knows that he has a book inside of him. I just love how passionately Nella talks. You can tell she really loves books, and she's in the perfect job, just in the wrong workplace, and we'll get into that. Anyway, the producer agrees that Jesse has a book inside of him, but she isn't really feeling the idea. She says that Wagner isn't the place for Jesse. They haven't had a black book editor since Kendra Ray like a million years ago. Nella says she knows about Wagner's bad reputation firsthand, so she knows that it's well deserved, but she's working hard to change it from the inside. And the podcast producer is like, yeah, I have 15 years on you and I admire your whimsy, but I just know that some shit just never changes. What I will say is that I did really like Nella's approach. I like the fact that she opted for honesty and she didn't try and sugarcoat or bullshit her, and was very honest and upfront about the fact that Wagner has a problematic, discriminatory culture. But Nella really is wasting her time over at Wagner. Their culture is like that because they want it to be like that. They have absolutely no intention to change it. If they did, they would have more than two black people within their office in 2023, both in assistant positions, not editors. So facts like that, in this climate where people all over the world are amplifying how hard they're working to change these kind of systems, and they are just literally coasting by with all their white faces and absolutely comfortable, it's because they're comfortable with the way that it is. It's really unfortunate and sad, but you do get to a point where, as a black person, you just have to realize that there's just some spaces that aren't for us. We are wasting our time in working hard to change certain spaces because they don't want to change. Off the back of this conversation, Ella needs to have a think, so she goes to the corridor and sits on the stairs, and then she gets a phone call from a private number, and it's this random girl's voice, and she thinks it's Hazel. So the girl's like, Hazel, good luck. Now, what I will say, I think this is a good time to interject and say, did we ever get any explanation for any of the stuff that's happening to Nella? All this weird stuff, like the voices, the flashing lights, the phone call. Like, obviously, as stuff transpires, some things click into place, but I feel like there were some things that weren't really explained. Like, I understand that it's a thriller and it's meant to be the tension and the suspense building that are really more for us as viewers, but at the same time, there's still things that are happening to Nella. So why was there never any explanation? Like, what was that supposed to be? Then Hazel herself pops up out of nowhere with champagne and mini sandwiches, but Nella's still kind of brooding about the conversation that she had with Jesse's podcast producer. Then Hazel says, girl, you're so fucking moody. I've never met anyone who is more... No, what did she say? I need to get this right. So Hazel says, you are so fucking moody. I've never met anybody more clearly a Cancer. Bitch, fuck you. We are not moody, okay? We have a lot of emotions going on up and through here, okay? It's a lot to process. We don't always understand them, so we have to think about them a lot. Shut up. I'm not triggered, but I'm just saying, fuck you. There's a lot of Cancer hate out there. You lot are rude, because you know Cancers are sensitive, but you always want to pile on us. Fuck all of you. Anyway. We move. Psycho Hazel encourages Nella to go into the party, act like an up-and-coming editor, and network. But then as soon as Nella gets started, she runs into Richard. Richard is looking big mad at first, like Nella thinks he's about to go off, but he then says, that's the ballsiest thing I've ever seen you do. So she's like, oh, okay. And she kind of takes this opportunity to pitch to him the idea that she had to do a re-release of Burning Heart and to bring in Kendra Ray again to maybe write a new foreword for the book. Richard says that they can't get Kendra Ray, and this is where he explains what apparently happened to Kendra. So the official story is that her bag and her subway pass were found on the subway one day, and then she was never seen or heard from again. But he says that in reality, she actually committed suicide. and she broke his heart, basically. But he seems intrigued at the idea of a re-release, so he says they'll talk about it more on Monday. But he does seem intrigued at the idea of a re-release, so he says they'll talk about it more at work tomorrow. It's 1985 now, and young Diana is visiting Kendra at Wagner Books. So obviously Kendra's graduated from Harvard and she's got a good job at Wagner. Diana's brought sandwiches so she and Kendra could have lunch, but Kendra is mad paranoid. She's looking at the judgy white woman in the office and she's saying that she doesn't even really want to have lunch away from her desk because she doesn't want them to think that she's slacking. Maybe to some black people even watching, that seemed a little dramatic, but trust me, people are funny. This is 1985 as well, remember. I'm sure they would have probably thought that. Any excuse to get the nigger out, you know? I'm sure that that was their mentality back then, so it wouldn't even surprise me if she was working with people that would be clocking every minute she's away from her desk, you know? I've even worked at places where it'll be mainly white people and then one black girl will join and then another one will join and then we'll all start getting close and then they'll all start to give you weird looks like all the black girls are getting close. Oh my god, are they plotting against us? Like, trust me, the weirdest things we do at work make white people uncomfortable. It's very strange. Isn't it crazy when you think about it how much racism impacts us? Like, we're the ones that are triggered. We are the ones that are so paranoid about every move that we make, everything that we do. But they are the ones with the problem. Like, I'm over here minding my business having lunch, but I'm the one that has to be worried even though you have a problem. Crazy. God, life is just not fair for us. But anyway, we move. Young Richard walks in and Diana is all over him like a fly on shit. She introduces herself to him and at first she bigs up her friend Kendra saying she's a superstar, all of that. But she does mention that she's a writer and he's interested, especially after Kendra Ray said she's really good. So he asks both of them to join him for lunch so they can talk about what she's working on now. When he leaves, Kendra asks, "Is that why you came down in the first place, to pitch yourself to my boss?" And Diana was like, "Bitch, were you not just here? I just did both of us a favor. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?" Notice how she didn't answer her question. Now, she absolutely did come here to pitch herself to Richard, but I am not mad at that. She's a young writer, a black writer at that. Her best friend is working at a publishing company. She absolutely should go down there and shoot her shot. I'm not mad at that. And I understand Kendra being paranoid because obviously she works there and she wants to make a good impression. She doesn't want to make it look like I'm just trying to bring in my friends. But at the end of the day, hey, it's money, innit? If it's a good book, if she's a good writer, I don't see the problem, you know? And hey, at least Kendra got to eat her lunch in peace, child. So we're in the present day now, and the episode ends with Hazel and Ella leaving the party in a cab, and Richard is a little further back in a car watching them like a creep, and he's on the phone with a mystery person saying, "Things have changed, I need you." Now we know that he was on the phone with Diana. But yeah, this episode was a light one, not too eventful. Just like I said, more of a painting the history between Diana and Kendra and making us understand the relationship between them before all the shit went down, which we'll find out later on. And yeah, that's about it really. I have no major takeaways other than the fact that Diana, Richard, and Kendra, why did we have to change the actors for the younger them? Like, I really don't like when TV shows do that, when they make the actors that played them when they were a teenager or young adults completely different people that look totally different to the adult versions. Like, their faces would not have completely reconstructed when they get older like that. People essentially stay the same. They may gain weight, they may get taller, they may have more facial hair, they may get more wrinkles, they may get terrible skin, bad teeth, you know, shit like that. But you're not going to look completely unrecognizable from your old face. Like, come on. But anyway, that being said, I did like the actresses that played the younger versions, Diana and Kendra. Don't know about Richard because he was only in it for 2 seconds, but yeah, I'm not mad at their performance, but I just feel like that's dumb when they do that shit. But anyway, I like the episode. What I will say though, because I'm re-watching the episodes as I'm going back to take notes for the reviews, and Nella, I love you, but you are slow. Like, Hazel, girl, she's weird. Why are you her friend? The blood? The phone call, sis, come on. And then by next episode, I really don't get Nella. Like, I don't get why. I feel like her level of fear and hesitance, it needs to be higher. Like, it needs to be stronger. It's like a 3 and it needs to be at like an 8. Like, how many warnings do you need to get about this girl before you stop fucking with her? Come on, Nella. I'm just saying, in real life, Hazel, we can be cool, but yeah, nah. And I guess to be fair, Nella's character, the whole point of her being like this is because she really wants more black women in her life. Like, she only has Malaika. But I feel like that's so crazy. Like, if you really want to make friends with black women, in New York, surely there's ways to do it. Like, I just feel like if you were that desperate for more black friends, you could have found some by now without having to rely on Hazel as your only option. But that's just me. Anyway, please comment down below and let me know what you thought of my review and of the show in general. I love to hear people's thoughts and opinions on TV shows that I'm watching because I love to talk about TV shows, as you can see. And yeah, please let me know what you thought. Subscribe to my channel for more reviews. In the past, I've mainly reviewed reality shows, but I plan on reviewing all kinds of TV shows and talking about more content as I go along. If you guys already know me from my podcast, then you'll know I talk about other things as well. But with YouTube, it's a lot of work, so I gotta start slow. I gotta get consistent with my schedule. So until I get to a point where I'm just pulling these together quickly and seamlessly, then we can add in more topics. Anyway, that's just a little PSA as to what you can expect from me going forward, if you care. But anyway, like I said, subscribe to my channel, comment below, like the video, please. And stay tuned for the next review of episode 4 of The Other Black Girl. See you later.